really hard to overestimate the value of finding a teacher in your life. This is the anniversary of Rudy's Samadhi, and although he's been gone for many, many years in any kind of physical sense, his presence, his teaching is still vibrant and deeply, deeply alive, certainly in me and in all the people who have studied with me. You can see it, you can feel it. The extraordinary thing in life is starting to want to have a spiritual life. How does that arise? How do you start to want to have a teacher? Well, it's really different for almost everybody, but there's a certain commonality, I think, and probably the greatest commonality is dissatisfaction with life as it is. I think that's what starts to make people seek something else. And of course, there's a lot of things to seek in life that will make you happier. And the idea that a spiritual teacher might be one of those is not something that comes to every mind, but there's a reason it comes to certain people. And when it does, they begin looking. You know, they'll ask friends, they'll go online, I suppose, they'll go to bookstores, they'll try to see what sort of speaks to them. And it's usually a very ego-driven, very limited mind that starts this pursuit. Rarely does it know how to go out and look for the real thing. It looks for whatever's in front of it. And it's not hard to find nowadays somebody offering to be a teacher. There are so many of them. The supermarket is so full that knowing which one to take off the shelf is really hard. But you begin somewhere usually and you just pick something. And I was very lucky. In the 60s there weren't a lot of people on the supermarket shelf. There were maybe three or four teachers around New York City that I was aware of, and Rudy happened to be one of them, and I really stumbled onto him. You know, I walked into his store because he sold Oriental art, and I was looking to buy a Buddha. You've all heard this story, and he sold me a broken Buddha saying, look for perfection in yourself, not in external objects, which I thought was a brilliant sales pitch. And when I got back from India 2 years later with Tibetan carpets, I went into his store to selling my carpets, and he asked what I was doing in India. I said I'd gone to find a teacher. He said, did you find one? I said, no. And he said, well, you know, I can teach you everything you want to know. That's how I met my teacher. It was very simple. If he hadn't been so willing to announce his availability, I probably would never have known that he was even a teacher at all. But I started studying with him really immediately, and everything from that moment on has been different in my life. Everything. And the gift of that is something that cannot be measured. It just cannot. Now, my spiritual life has grown and changed over the course of years, and Rudy hasn't been around directly to moderate that. But Rudy and all truly great spiritual teachers are not teaching through personality, really. I mean, a little bit, but they're really teaching through presence, through this thing that rides through them. And the thing that comes through them is not of the particular moment, it's of every moment. It has an eternal aspect to it. It is the great teaching of presence, the great teaching of awareness, of consciousness. This is something that is given by teachers who have really connected to their own center, to their own presence. And what happens when you find that kind of teacher is that whether they're there physically for you or not physically for you, presence never goes away. The teaching continues. Rudy used the code word life. He said life is the teacher, but really it is that which is at the driving core of life, which is this extraordinary sense of conscious awareness, of being here, of being aware, of being here. And Rudy taught that in amazing ways. He taught it through how he walked, how he talked, how he laughed. He talked about it and spoke about it all the time. He was a consummate teacher. And, you know, I was at that point a consummate student. I had enormous hunger. I had enormous hunger to know what this all is, why we're here, what we're doing here, what life is about. I wanted to know the truth. And that's a long, hard ride. And I also wanted to get my life right. One of the things I think that most people feel in going toward a spiritual life is that something is wrong, something's not working. And Rudy was really brilliant about that. You know, there are so many different schools of spiritual work, and certainly the one I've come to, the Advaita teaching, which I use really do now, the teaching of this is it, this is all there is, this is the present moment is all there ever will be. That's a very important teaching, but it's a very hard teaching to start out with. When I started spiritual work and I came across teachers like Ramana Maharshi who taught this, I shied away. I said, well, you know, I don't want this to be it. I don't like what this is. I don't like this moment. I don't want to be this person. I want to change. I want to be more. I want to grow. I want to have a real life. I want to have a career. I want to have a family. I wanted so many things. And so I couldn't go toward Advaita teaching at that point in my life. And I was lucky to find the exact thing I was looking for, which was a man who knew that you have to get your life in order to have a life. A good spiritual life, a strong spiritual life, this life, it doesn't arrive out of unhappiness and wanting to get away from what your life is. It really comes from fixing your life, getting it to work. And Rudy was the most brilliant teacher of that. He really sat down and told you, fix it, get it together, work hard. And he gave you rules for working hard, and he gave you a diagnostic tool for seeing when it was working and when it wasn't working. I mean, the whole chakra system, as he depicted it, was an extraordinary way to look and see what in you was alive and what wasn't alive. Is your heart working? I mean, every relationship in the world requires an open heart. You cannot have a life that doesn't have an open heart. And yet, for many people, they don't even know what an open heart really is, what it really means. It's an idea, something you hear in songs. But an open heart really is an open heart chakra. It's this space within you that flowers, that awakens to life, to other people, that learns to love. You have to have a mind that can see the world, that can interpret the world, that can be judicious in its understanding of things. And this chakra right here in the middle of your forehead is a chakra that allows for that to happen. And if that chakra is energized, you start to go deeply into the world. If that chakra is reduced and shut off, you don't have a mind to analyze what's going on around you. You stumble around and you live kind of a rudderless life. So you don't want that. Rudy talked about the gut chakra, moving down into the navel chakra. Navel chakra is about will, the will to do, to have, to work. And for most people, that chakra is driven by base forces. It's an ego-driven will to have, to survive, to prevail, whatever it is that an individual wants, but it's not conscious. And an unconscious will gets you in a lot of trouble. It's the source of most karma. In the same way that a closed heart or a emotionally driven heart that isn't really open gets you into all sorts of trouble. When there's consciousness or presence brought into these spaces, they become teaching spaces. They become ways of looking at life that lets life come to you as your teacher. And that's a very big difference from the way most people live. Most people live their life without being taught. They don't learn the life lessons because there's nobody home to learn. It's just make the same mistakes over and over, dig the ditch deeper and deeper and bury yourself in it, because that's where most lives go. It's very hard to watch an unconscious life, especially for me now when I see how many people live lives that are really buried up to their neck. They don't function well. Nothing is open. Nothing is flowing. They're stuck. They're closed. They're frightened. They don't know how to move forward. And the moving forward seems so impossible. How do I find love? How do I direct my will towards something greater, higher, more important, more valuable? How do I begin to look at life in a way that really is allowing me to see what it's really about? This is hard for people. And what I see for many people as they get older is they just cover themselves with more and more protections, more and more defense mechanisms, more and more illusions, if you will, so they don't have to face how buried and how frightened and how covered up they are. And when people are that densely buried inside, it's really hard to get through that and to open them up. And truly, you can't do it. You can't open up somebody else who doesn't ask for help to be opened. So Rudy said, and he was wonderful in this, Spiritual life starts with a wish to grow. Without that wish to grow, it's not going to happen. And that wish to grow comes through something that Rudy also said was very important. It's called pain. And he called pain God's love. And the reason pain is God's love is that it motivates. It gets us off our ass. It gets us doing stuff. It gets us reaching for something. And if you're lucky, you'll reach for a spiritual life. And if you're really lucky, you'll find someone who can tell you how to live it. Finding Rudy was, of course, for me, the most amazing thing imaginable because it was exactly what I needed. He taught me how to have a life. I have a marriage, I have children, I have a granddaughter, I have a career, I've had success, I have all of this. It's there because of Rudy. I would never have been able to access those things. I had no idea how to deal with that. And of course, the great value of having had a very fulfilling and profoundly giving life is that I now have this ability to let it go. Because I've had it, I know what it is, I know its value, I know its limitation. I know what life is, I know what it delivers, and having had it, I can say, I know life, I know it, I don't have to strive to get anything in life anymore. The perfection I was looking for really is there. In a way, it was always there. But I always thought I had to have these certain things fall into place in order to know that. And in a way, that's what's happened. You know, one of the great things about having success is that you realize that it's not the answer to anything. It helps a little bit, but it's not the answer. It doesn't give you what you're truly looking for, and you can't know that until you've had it. So the great value of having success is to realize that's not it. The great value of having money is to realize that's not it. You have to have everything in order to let go of it. Rudy said that too. It was one of the central parts of his teaching. You can't let go of that which you haven't had. So he taught us how to go into life, how to live, how to learn from every situation, every circumstance, and to realize that every instant of your life is an ongoing teaching. And then when you arrive at this awakening that's taken place for me, the extraordinary thing is that you realize that everything Rudy was saying was exactly right. Before awakening, you're doing it through conscious action, through effort, through trial, through willingness to experiment in that realm of trying to be conscious. After awakening, it's the same thing, but there's no effort. It's just how you live. But you live the life that Rudy taught. You live the life of open-heartedness, open-mindedness, a will that is in service not of your own life, but of God's will, of something greater than you. And you surrender to that because surrender was at the core of all of Rudy's teaching. And in that surrender, you discover what wants to be. And you become not so much a servant of it, but an engine of it. It is manifesting through you every moment. And you also realize that it's been that way all along. So that this idea of awakening doesn't change very much because, especially if you're a student of Rudy's practice, you've been doing it. You've been living that life. Now you just relax and let that life live you. It's a remarkable, remarkable thing. And that's why I'm so in love with my teacher. It's why I think Rudy was one of the greatest gifts that could have happened in a lifetime. It's why I celebrate his samadhi year after year after year, because his leaving this world was also a great gift to me. As much as I miss him physically, I really understand and really know that he has never left. That what Rudy is and was continues to be, and that I am a beneficiary of that, and that I have found my way into the space that Rudy inhabited, and I have found a way to communicate what he communicated to myself and to everyone around us. So whatever Rudy would have taught is coming through this mouth as I speak, and it's coming through these eyes as I look at you, although all I'm seeing is a camera right now. But it does come through. You can get it, you can pick it up, it's there, it's presence, it's conscious energy being expressed to consciousness in another bodily form, which happens to be your bodily form. This energy is transmission from teacher to student. It came from Rudy to me to you, and Rudy had it from Nityananda, Nityananda had it from his teacher. It is this vast lineage of a teaching that is going into you as I'm speaking right now. It's an extraordinary thing. How can you not be grateful? So when one sits to honor Rudi's samadhi, what you're really honoring is the unbelievable grace of the universe. That somehow these words are finding you right now. That is total grace. Total grace. You could be sitting watching a football game. You could be in a bar fighting with somebody. You could be having an argument with your wife, or you could just be sound asleep and snoring away and missing this, but you're not. You're here hearing these words. Why? Because of grace. That's all. And so you honor the one who sends the grace to you, and for me that's Rudi. Because it's through Rudi that this happened. And I no longer limit it to Rudi, of course, because it's no longer, for me, a personality that's delivering this. It's something so much greater. But Rudi was the source moment that gave me the truth, that gave me the work of awakening to what is. And so I sit here on Rudi's samadhi, and I just feel the gratitude that that brings about. I feel the gratitude and the good fortune and the grace that I can be sitting here sharing this with you as we speak right now. So, all I want to do is tell you that I love you. Happy Rudi's Samadhi. And have a wonderful day. Also, I wanted to show you a photograph of my granddaughter, because I think this will help you see what I'm talking about when I speak of presence. There we go. Look at that. Joshua sent this to me the other day, and I looked at it and I said, what more marvel is there in the world than to look into those eyes and to imagine what she's seeing, to know that she's seeing the world the way we're all trying to see it. It's remarkable. This is the look of true presence. This is the look that we all came into the world with, and if you're lucky, it's the look you go out with. Unfortunately, what happens, and I think you are all aware of it, you're not seeing the world that way right now. And you're not seeing the world that way right now only because you're caught up in the world, because you're caught up in the details and the mundane nature of it. And all I can say to you is sit down, be quiet, relax, go inside, breathe into your heart, ask for help to surrender. Let this world fall away, let the moment emerge. Find yourself where you truly are, which is right here. Look out at the world, and you will see it in the same way Talia is looking at it. You'll see it in exactly the same way. That's how the world wants to be seen, as a place of wonder. That's all it is. That's all it is. And when you walk down the street, you will walk down with a joy in your heart that you won't believe. When you look at another person, you will stare at them with a kind of gratitude for knowing that they exist and that they are sitting across the table from you or across the room from you. You'll look around you and you'll see that everything is grace. You won't have a conflict with it. You won't have any kind of tension. You'll just be happy to be. So, I'm Rudi Samadhi. I wish you a great day of being. Love you all.